Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in tonight. It is Friday night. I always say it's my favorite night of the week. Actually, no, Thursday night's my favorite night of the week. It's kind of like the idea that Friday is the next day, being that Friday is my favorite day of the week. So,
well,
second favorite
like
night of the week.
It sounds like you don't like your job.
I love my job, but I just like Fridays. So I continue to work, you know, Saturdays and Sundays, you know.
I hope not. You need a break.
No, it's all good. We love it, man. So, Audrey, you know, we're more than a decade doing this show across many different stations in the Pittsburgh region. We've been hanging out here at KDK for about 3 years now.
Has it been
3 years? Time rolls by very quick. Absolutely, man. And it's for us, as we always say, we get to have way too much fun bringing people great stories. All the great stuff happening here in Pittsburgh's tech sector, as we all know, it just seems like in the past couple years, it's gone berserk.
You think it's gone berserk?
Yeah.
It feels like that to you?
Yeah,
so
it almost feels out of control to me.
So you're like a 20-year vet. So yeah. What feels out of control?
Just the amount of attention that we've been getting. Because before we
have been getting a lot of attention.
Before we were telling stories and knowing of many great things that were happening, and there was lots, and we were telling those stories out to the world. And they were, you get some reaction, but not always, you know, you're just telling things out, not really knowing who's listening or who's acting. But then we've been seeing all these top 10 lists we've been making over the years. And then I've just been seeing it's just the number of companies, the number of ideas that are just kind of happening. And then outside that, just the number of restaurants and the amenities that are popping up and the different buildings that are popping up. It just, things just seem like they've really gone into overdrive. And it's attracted such things as
like, has it gone into overdrive because of what's happening here? Has it gone into overdrive because social media has really taken a hold in our world?
That's a very interesting point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, because I'm writing about that.
Yes, you are writing about that. The reminder to self, you owe me an article on this. Yes.
Yeah, that's
I know. Absolutely. You're right. But the whole social media side that in the past 5 years, the ability to communicate has become that much more intense.
It's democratization of information of all kinds, whether it's all the way to the right, to the left, to the north, to the south.
It's working well for Pittsburgh right now.
Well, it is. It's fascinating because as newspapers, quote unquote, are trying to find their relevancy.
Right.
And as they are trying to reinvent themselves and trying to understand what it means to have a subscription, what it means for people to have access, they're also wrestling with the fleeting, you know, sort of array of the way people can communicate.
Exactly.
You and I can start a blog. You and I can start doing, you know, this Twitter feed where we can be thought, you know, engineers, or we could be retweeting other information.
Right.
I mean, there are bots now that are available that can actually take your, you know, escalate your presence in social media, whether you agree with it
or
not.
Right.
But there are bots that actually allow for that.
Exactly.
So listen, I will ride the wave and say, this place is amazing. There are so many incredible things. There are so many smart people. There are people who are working so diligently on hard, incredible problems, whether it's artificial intelligence to, you know, the deep machine learning, whatever is actually coming out of our universities, in particular Carnegie Mellon. But we also have ways of communicating that we never had before.
Exactly. That's what it is.
So you've answered this question for me.
Yes,
right. But do I love the fact that we've, you know, got restaurants and Zagat's and other places are rating us high for that? Absolutely. Did that happen through social media? Hard to say. There's an underbelly of restaurateurs that keep themselves threaded together, particularly when they want to go
into
new domains.
But you got more people Instagramming their whatever it is tacos.
Food.
Yeah, exactly.
All their food.
And so you're like, I got to try this.
Instagram
right.
is all about food, right?
It's called Foodogram is what they should call it, right?
Right.
So, yeah. And speaking of food, on today's show, we have SCA Technology stopping by today.
Talking about
how you get that
logistics.
Food to the table, right? And so, like, that's a 20-year company. They've seen the rise of Pittsburgh. They've ridden that wave.
right.
And everything like that. So I
don't know. I love the National Geographic attention. I love the fact that our, you know, Visit Pittsburgh is doing an incredible job of trying to get the word out around the world.
Definitely.
I love that we have more inbound people that are coming to Pittsburgh to spend long weekends. I love the fact that the New York Times did a great 36 hours in Pittsburgh.
Right.
I love the fact that Anthony Bourdain was here at the underbelly of what's happening in
love
the region.
Love it or hate it. It was good.
Right.
Right.
And so I think that while the exposure, and then we had Geek Wire in Pittsburgh for the entire month of February.
Exactly.
And, you know, that gives us more, you know, more eyes on a lot of the things that are happening here.
Exactly.
And I think they've done a good job in trying to put what's real about Pittsburgh.
Very good
storytelling. They kicked it off by saying they're hoping that if Amazon comes here or anyone else, that doesn't take the nice out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, speaking of Amazon, that's the other thing, is the whole HQ2 thing has been one of those things where that once again put more attention on Pittsburgh.
Right. That's Pittsburgh being sort of like the dark horse.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, wow, Pittsburgh, you know, is that true compared to everyone else?
Exactly.
So, I don't know, Jonathan. I think that the last 5 years has just been a frenetic time in innovation and tech, and things are happening faster and faster, and people are figuring out different ways to communicate and storytell. And you can tell stories in 280 characters now.
Yeah, I know. The whole doubling of Twitter kind of
freaked me out. There goes your journalism.
I thought brevity was the soul of wit.
I know, you did. I like the 140.
These super,
you got to be more clever. Right.
Exactly. They're like dumbing down Twitter. Come on. I'm keeping all my tweets to 140 or less.
I try to do the same thing.
I'm going old school, traditional.
Traditional
140.
Oh, we should make that like a t-shirt.
We should, exactly.
We're so old school. We love 140.
We love, exactly. It's like, oh, goodness. Anyhow, I'm really pumped up for today's show. As I mentioned before, SCA Technologies is stopping by. Food logistics. I can never take it for granted that when I go to the grocery store, food is there. That when I go to Taco Bell, don't really go to that often, but I will from time to time. That, you can get a burrito and it shows up. There's a whole supply chain behind this. You know, you got to go to the farm and get the potatoes for the French fries and send them to the place that turns them into fries.
I know, there are things that we take for granted.
Yeah, and there's companies.
We just want things like Snap.
Snap, and we get them because there's companies like SCA that are making it happen, which I think is just really exciting, and I'm really pumped to kind of talk to them. They were on the show about 2 years ago.
Software is everywhere.
It is. It is. It is ubiquitous.
I know.
I
wonder
ubiquitous.
If people know that when they go to McDonald's.
Yeah. I
wonder if they
people
think
are just
about
like,
that.
Yeah, I want fries with that. And they're not even thinking about where this damn fries came from. But anyhow, we also have the airport stopping by. You know, the big expansion is underway, which we are very excited about. I mean, they're going to modernize the facility. Obviously, it's going to take many years for this to happen, but the plans are now, you know, being developed.
Well, it's important. It's a 25-year-old airport.
Exactly.
We just finished talking about all the technology changes that happened in 5 years.
I know.
Think of all the changes that have happened in air travel.
Exactly.
So moving people.
Right.
Information.
All
ticketing. All those things. Time for change.
Time for change. Simple as that. And we also have Jim Scallow stopping by from Burns and Scallow.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a deep thinker of real estate. That's what he is, a deep thinker
seems
of real
like
estate.
Seems like it.
Yes.
Seems like it.
He's thinking about how office buildings are what
I wonder
keeps your
if
employees
he's
happy.
He's going to put, you know, like a rainforest in one of these buildings.
He might. I'm just saying.
He might.
They're doing some great stuff, and they're actually breaking ground on a new building in this early summer down in our neck of the woods in South Oakland, as they would say, if you were a proper Pittsburgher, as I am. I try to be, at least.
Is what that
can
what I it, say? Yeah. That's how you would say it?
I'm going to go to South Oakland in that, yeah.
Wow.
It's a little bit of Pittsburghese there. So anyhow, we're taking a quick break. We are coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio. I swear, learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Go to pghtechfuse.com for all the tech news you can handle. There's a lot on there. Tech Vibe Radio podcasts, articles from TEQ Magazine. You get it. Anyhow, this is Jonathan Kersing.
And this is Audrey Russo.
I tell you what, man, space is the place. Without it, you got no place to hang
That's
out.
That's Sun Ra.
It is.
So funny. Okay.
Oh, man. We have Jim Scallow here. This is like, I'm excited about this. We're talking about people who are making some great buildings, great office spaces in the Pittsburgh area. And this guy's a little bit of a thought leader here when it comes to the evolution of office space.
Wow.
How it's
You're
guiding
really
their principles.
Them
I'm
there.
Telling you, man. This stuff is important. That's all I can say, is because when you spend half your life at work, you want to be someplace kind of cool. And there's a lot of really cool buildings that Scala's been putting up lately. I was just at their HQ a few weeks ago.
Okay. So
very nice space. That's all I can say.
So, let's introduce the man.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm Jim Scala, the CEO of Burns and Scala Real Estate. Little backstory, you know, our business is since 1956. So that's something I'm very proud of.
And absolutely.
We really have seen the industry evolve.
Yes.
We've seen it professionalize. In my 30-plus years of leading the company, it's really turned into a service business. But more importantly, where it's going today and the evolution of office space, which really got me pragmatically thinking deeply, is when we travel to other markets and we see what's going on, and let's just use New York as always a forward-thinking market.
Yes.
What's happening with office space today, it's taking a page out of hospitality, meaning it's about that experience when you walk into the building. It's about that vibe and experience. Vibe being short for vibration, and experience being why you want to come back to the building.
And stay there for extended periods of time.
So what are you seeing? So what are you going to predict for the next 10 years?
Well, primarily what you're going to see from the interior of an office building, when you walk in, when I say page out of hospitality, meaning a hotel, great hotel lobbies, great hotels have always had great lobbies. What you've seen in our industry also is that multifamily has resonated or gone that direction. Today, all your new apartment projects are all about that initial impulse, that wow experience. So you don't even care to see an apartment. You want to be there. Office now is taking that page from multifamily, which took it from hospitality. So the new office buildings that we're creating today are going to have that high-impact, amenitized entrance, that lobby feel. There's a new building that we're developing in Oakland at the Pittsburgh Technology Center. This is going to be like...
Right on the river.
Right on the river, called the Riviera. And we always brand our buildings, like the Bentley...
Jonathan, where you talked about.
What we really want to do is create a, you know, Webster's dictionary definition of the building. So if you had to look it up, it would tell you.
That's the experience.
What's the experience at the Riviera?
The Riviera experience is going to be, in fact, it's on the river. When you walk into the lobby, you're going to have a cafe. You're going to smell the coffee of the cafe. It's going to have garage doors to the outside, just like a, you know, a coffee tree experience.
Mm-hmm.
That same coffee bar will transform into a happy hour location, you know, at the end of the workday. Or
you can switch out.
Are people ever going to work?
Just going to have coffee and margaritas.
you know, just a comment on that. I mean, what if you really take a look at who the big market cap companies are today? It's the tech companies. It's Amazon. It's Google.
Right, Facebook.
Take a look at their real estate.
Jungles.
Right.
It's swanky.
Right?
It's nice.
It's all this.
It's where you want to be.
All this vibe and experience stuff. It's mm-hmm. But more importantly, it's about what's going on in our industries today, and that's a talent war.
Mm-hmm.
So real estate, office space specifically, is being looked at by the smartest corporations that we work with as a supplemental tool for attraction.
Right. And retention.
100%.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, productivity.
Keep them there longer?
Correct.
Working more efficiently.
It's not that we're nice and we want to give you free food and even have sleeping pods. It's that we're going to get the productivity because you want to be there. You're going to stay there. You're not leaving at 4:59 like your father's work.
So you're taking all these concepts and putting them into all your buildings, the newest of which is going to be the Riviera, which you can break ground on in the spring, correct? That's right around the corner.
Yeah, the Riviera is a 160,000 square foot building.
Wow.
Built in the Pittsburgh Technology Center.
Yeah, right? I drive past the billboard every day for it.
Yeah.
It's going to be one heck of a building, man.
It's going to be great. And what Burns and Scala does, too, when we look for opportunities, we look for programmatic opportunities, meaning it's not just one building. We see that there's additional land at the Pittsburgh Technology Center. We want to build out the whole park. We want to build three or four buildings, get to
scale. So this is your first move in this park then? There could be more to follow.
And so this is considered South Oakland. So for people who are listening, say the technology center, it's really South Oakland when you come down Bates and 2nd Avenue.
That's correct.
You go any more south, you're in the south side.
Yes,
and it's no longer Oakland.
Yeah, specifically, we're right across from Southside Works. We're, you know, right adjacent to the Hot Metal Bridge, right at the base of Bates Street, Second Avenue being the corridor to town.
Absolutely.
Is a good idea on the location. We're going to have a shuttle bus just for the building that's going to...
So that is
going
to happen.
Oh, shuttle bus? Where will I be going?
Well, it's going to shuttle on the half hour to Southside.
Can you have it go a couple blocks down to our neck of the thing and just pick Audrey up so she can go over the Southside?
We absolutely can. Perfect. Matter of fact, you're going to want to relocate your offices to this building when you see it. But, I mean, you know, at the Pittsburgh Technology Center, you know, every investment that we look at has pros and cons.
Of course.
Okay? So just to get the cons out of the way, I mean, you know, amenities and parking would be the two for Pittsburgh Technology Center. Not that this is a negative presentation.
Right.
But you have to, I don't care where we go in the world.
There's always a plus and a minus.
And you have to ID them and then solve for them.
Right.
So basically, we're going to have a shuttle, Riviera shuttle, that's going to take to the Southside Works where the amenities and additional parking are. Mm-hmm. The pros are exponential. The fact that you're on the river.
It's a beautiful view.
Yeah. In our business, you can't find a better site than one that's on the river.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
More importantly, what you've seen here in Pittsburgh is the fringe markets really growing. What I mean by the fringe markets
Larimer
are...
Larimer and...
No, the Strip District, North Shore, South Side.
Gotcha.
And why is there's a humanization occurring. There's an urbanization occurring and a humanization inside that urbanization. What a lot of people aren't forward thinking about is that I recently read a stat that by 2025, 75% of the workforce is going to be millennial. And then we have the Z's behind them. And when I look at my kids, we have to build for tomorrow.
Absolutely.
What today's talent war cares about is mobility, agility, amenities.
Mm-hmm. Access to all that stuff.
Action.
Mm-hmm.
So the corporations want to be near the universities to attract the talent, the best talent. When I say real estate's being used as a supplemental tool to attract, retain, and ultimately get the productivity, it's also not just the building and the amenities, but it's the location of the building. So they want these locations in the fringe markets near the universities because they want to hire right out of school.
Very cool. That's what it's all about.
That's why we're in Oakland.
Good move. We're excited that you're down there because it just shows, how the city, the region is busting loose. And you're on top of that to provide the spaces that are needed. So I'm looking forward to the groundbreaking this spring. We'll be there with the golden shovel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll help you dig the first scoop of dirt out of the ground.
June.
As far as that goes.
It'll be June of this year that we start.
Excellent.
That's great.
And then about a year after that. So
thanks for your vision.
Yeah.
And
people learn more about Burns and Scala. Where can they go?
Our website's the best place.
Absolutely. Good.
Always. Yeah. But our foot's on the gas, and we're going to grow this market.
Fantastic stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right. We're coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear, every single Friday night. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org, then head on over to Twitter at pghtech. Hey, everybody. Thanks for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio, where we love hanging out and nerding out with Pittsburgh Airport, the International Airport. Huge, huge resource. Lots of great changes going on there right now. Lots of positive news happening. We love updating you on all this stuff. And tonight is no different. Is it not, Audrey?
I'm psyched. I'm always thrilled to get updates from the airport.
Yeah,
so
right.
Who's in the house?
My name's Paul Hoback. I'm Senior Vice President of Engineering, Planning, and Capital Development for Pittsburgh International.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sounds very important, doesn't it?
Busy job ahead.
Yes, with all the recent announcements, with the all the rework at the airport.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for the airport and certainly for the region.
Well, let's just start. Let's take it from the top and try to pack in all that's really going on.
There's a lot to get in
12
minutes.
There's a lot going on. So we have the progress of the airport. So destinations, they've absolutely more than doubled in less than 3 years, right?
Went from 37 nonstop destinations to 74, doubled in under 3 years. And that's amazing growth. This past year, we've had 8.2% growth in passenger traffic. Which is our highest growth since actually 2000.
Really?
The percentage growth.
That's what I'm talking about.
12,000 passengers under the 9 million mark, which Is fantastic.
Very cool.
We're excited about that.
So what are some, give us some of the highlights, though. Give us some of the highlights about where these flights are for air service.
Yeah, just a few of the highlights, especially that might interest the tech audience.
Yep.
Certainly, we just recently announced that Alaska Airlines will be flying nonstop 7 days a week to Seattle.
Starting in the fall,
very
right?
Excited
begins
about that.
September 6th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that.
Book your flights now.
Absolutely.
We want people on these planes. Come on.
Yes, we want to fill them up.
Yes. Audrey's going to send me to, she's sending me to Seattle.
I just sent someone a few weeks ago to Seattle, but they were
waiting for this
flight.
They're waiting for this flight because they had to go to Atlanta first.
Okay, so let's keep going down the list. Let's just sort of go through it because I also want to talk about the modernization that's going
Absolutely.
On at the airport.
So Delta Airlines, they added Salt Lake City service. That'll begin on July 9th. And United just recently announced a really exciting announcement. If you've been to San Francisco and you had to take that red-eye flight home, they have changed that now. So their 10-month-a-year service with daily nonstops to San Francisco will be returning on daytime service.
That's
so
what we're talking about.
That's really super exciting.
Very cool.
Because I've been on that flight a few times and have been exhausted the next day. They will be keeping the red-eye flight during the summer months as the second nonstop. But
just in case you miss it and want to experience it again.
When they wanted to make that change. So we're excited about that. Other airlines like WOW Airlines who go nonstop through Reykjavik to Europe.
Which Jonathan and I have been. We brought the plane back.
Absolutely.
And it was an amazing trip and amazing partnership. And the fact that I hear continually about people going to Europe, stopping in Reykjavik, and then taking over one of those, you know, like Ryanair or some of those other kind of hopper planes. And they're getting to locations all across Europe with one stop.
Get you so many opportunities. My family and I took it this past July. We went to, we've never been to Europe before in our lives.
Now you went
and then
because
we
of that
went
flight.
Because that flight, which offered a cheaper nonstop destination to London. We went to London and we went over to Paris, and it was an amazing vacation that we'll never forget because we started WOW Air Service here.
Exactly. So with all these new flights, Salt Lake City, I didn't know that one, and now I'm very excited because last year I had to take two connections to get there, and now if I can just fly there, that's what I'm talking about. But anyhow, modernizing the airport. I can't believe it's been 25 years since the quote-unquote new airport, which is no longer new, obviously.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
As we go out in public and we start presenting on the terminal modernization program, that's the first thing. New airport? Why do you guys want to update this new airport? Well, it's really not new anymore. I mean, 25-year-old facility, and I'm quite proud of the condition that we have it looking with a new floor air side
absolutely.
And all the upgrades that we've been making.
Right.
But what the normal passenger doesn't see is behind the scenes. The baggage handling systems, the people mover trains, all of that older infrastructure that we have that needs upgraded. And it's very costly to maintain. We were also an airport that was built and designed for one airline, U.S. Airways, of course. And that was when we were a major hub connecting traffic. Everybody who was getting off a plane and getting back on another plane, we use it very differently today.
And
the
world has changed so much in 25 years.
Exactly.
The airline
aviation
is no longer the same.
Changed.
Hubs don't really, I mean, that's not what matters anymore.
Exactly.
It's not about being a hub city anymore. It's about flights.
And so we wanted to make sure through this modernization plan that we offered better customer service.
Right.
Improve security. We're going to consolidate two security checkpoints into one, which allows the TSA to be more efficient. We're going to get rid of the 8 miles of baggage conveyor.
Eight miles.
A lot of times people complain, especially American Airline passengers, about that weight because those bags are riding that 8 miles of baggage conveyor that was meant for a major hub connecting airport.
Do the bags go to Greentree first and
exactly,
then to the airport?
Exactly, and then they make no. They actually don't. But so it's very important to upgrade that infrastructure to reduce that amount of baggage system to like 1 mile so that we can be more efficient with those baggage systems. People mover train, if you're designing a O&D or origin and destination airport today, you would never separate a landside and airside terminal facility. You put them both together.
But people don't need a train. I mean, honestly, the thought leadership that's gone into this modernization is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to have this kind of separation and brick and mortar that's so massive. With technology and with all the transformation, there's no reason. And this is what I tell people.
Yes.
There's no reason for us to A, not rethink the whole strategy on the airport and how you move people, but B, it's different today in terms of space and brick and mortar and efficiencies and energy.
Exactly. I mean, back in 1988 when they were designing the airport, these cell phones, and I'm holding up a cell phone right now, did not exist.
No.
So you walk through the airport today and you see everybody fighting over those last few outlets that are left. They're laying on the ground, you know, trying next to an outlet. And that's not how this facility is meant to be.
I saw someone bring an extension cord once, a big orange extension cord. I'm kidding.
Exactly. Now, I'm excited about that. So yes. What are you excited about?
I'm excited about this entire transformation that we've been making, especially over the last 3 years since Christina Kasotis has joined us as our CEO. It's funny, when I go out in public and start talking about the terminal modernization plan, everybody wants to know when this thing's going to get under construction.
Yeah, so when?
The actual breaking of the ground will be the end of 2019. But I tell people that the construction began 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So it all started with this organizational change that Christina has been implementing and this culture change that we've had. We were very risk averse in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very stagnant organization, and what she has done was move us to one of engagement and innovation. And so changing this whole culture, helping us figure out how to win again. I mean, you don't become ATW Magazine's Airport of the Year in 2017 and be mentioned with past winners like London Heathrow, Singapore Changi, and Hong Kong International. I mean, those are the past three winners, and then Pittsburgh International Airport. You don't do that without changing your culture. And she has helped us win again, and that has actually helped us. That was the beginning of construction.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have those victories, you actually then couldn't, you know, get the public, get our board, get the entire region behind a project like this terminal modernization program.
That's when
construction began.
And you being someone obviously with the airport for as long as you have been, I mean, you've seen the ups and the downs and the ups and the downs, and now you're seeing this complete takeoff.
Exactly. And I will always say we had the right leadership at the right time.
Right.
You know, when U.S. Airways started to dehub, and we just had to survive, go into survival mode, and do the best job that we could operationally.
Right.
We did that, and we did an excellent job at it. When Christina joined us, she said, from an operational excellence perspective, you guys are top of the line. You know, you're the best in the industry. You have the best snow removal team. But we needed someone at that point in time to help sell the airport and to sell the region, and we got that with Christina. So it's been... We've had amazing progress and amazing wins over the last 3 years, and it's been really exciting to be a part of this organization.
I can see it coming through.
That's so great.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, to hear the exuberance from you, because you've got to lead other people through this.
Exactly.
And they've got to be excited as well, and change is so tough.
Very tough.
Change is very tough.
But the point that you're thinking through all the hard issues, there almost isn't an issue in terms of the collaboration that we've had with the airport that hasn't been addressed. At least there isn't anything, whether it's technology, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's design, whether it's community building, whether it's partnership. There's almost not anything, and direct flights and understanding what our priorities are, particularly for us in the tech sector. Our partnership has never been better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there isn't anything that isn't, you know, up for being considered or being reconsidered and being morphed and embedded into the strategic plan. So I'm thrilled.
We've got a couple minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people want to know, I guess, as you start planning this forward, how can we keep up to date with this? How can we provide input on this? Like, what's the best way to interface and keep ourselves in the know about the transforming airport?
So certainly we want you to keep in touch with www.pittransform.com,
P-I-T-transform.com. Okay.
We will have all updates on there.
Nice.
We want feedback from the community.
Right.
We're going to be starting focus groups as soon as we get a designer on board.
I want to be on a focus group.
Exactly. And we're going to have specific areas of focus, like technology, like sustainability, and those kind of things.
Cool.
We realize we've never built an airport before, and so we're not.
I'm happy to stop by and get some pointers.
We're not the experts. But we want to get the experts in every area, like constructing an airport. We brought on board our program director, Dan Malloy, who actually helped construct Abu Dhabi Airport as well as Atlanta Airport. So we have folks that we're bringing on board. We're reaching out to the community. We're starting that public outreach
process.
The
other thing I want to make a big sort of pitch to, so that people can go to the new website. The website is flypittsburghright.com, but you've redone it. And I really like the design. I really like the navigation
clean,
in there.
Easy to navigate.
And yeah,
great information.
I mean, so I
on
think
there too.
That's
absolutely.
And there's information on there that also feeds into some of the things that you're doing. So I'm pleased about that.
Our marketing communications department's doing a great job making sure that we get the word out.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for stopping by. We are pumped. You'll be stopping by for regular updates on all the great progress that you guys are making over
absolutely.
There.
Thank you so much for having me here
without
today.
Without a doubt.
We're taking this opportunity.
We're taking a quick break. We're coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear, or your money back. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. So glad you joined us tonight for Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, you know, we take it for granted. You roll up to Taco Bell, McDonald's, any restaurant to pick up a burger or fries or tacos. They just don't magically appear at the restaurant. There's a ton of logistics to get that seven layer in your hands. Just doesn't happen.
And so we're going to talk about that?
We're going to talk about that because there's companies, I should say a company in Pittsburgh, no stranger to Tech Vibe Radio, SCA Technologies. That's what they do. All about supply chain logistics to get that burrito in your hand when you want it. It's a modern world, man. It happens this way. We got Dan Gorski with us. So Dan, thanks for stopping by.
Jonathan and Audrey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hi, Dan. This
hi.
Is great.
So
should we just jump in and try to have some fun?
By all means, let's do it.
But first, tell us about SCA Technologies real fast and what you do there, and then we're going to jump into this.
Sure.
Access to burritos, which is very important to me.
Sure. It is to us all. So SCA Technologies is a 20-year company based here in Pittsburgh. We have a couple offices in India as well. And SCA Technologies has been the creator and proprietor of a very unique and effective software service that has to do with optimizing supply chains, and as well as logistics and things like that. So SCA I was a client of SCA Technologies for many, many years.
Uh-huh.
And so now I've come to the other side, the lighter side of SCA Technologies within the last year.
Very cool.
So talk about the technology and what's a differentiator and what might people be surprised about?
So I would say the differentiator for the SCA platform is that it's how comprehensive it is. So most prospects and clients we talk to are surprised that all that it entails. And really there's four key areas of our software.
Okay.
One would be sourcing optimization or supply chain, or given supply chain, there's always room to improve or that next level of improvement or resource allocation. The second is supplier management. How are supply chain suppliers managed in the areas of their performance versus their plan versus their historical performance, perhaps other suppliers in the supply chain. And then the third element of our software that's very unique is our cost of goods forecasting. So this helps companies forecast what's going to happen in the future.
The price of beans.
The price
for
of
my
beans.
Burrito, right?
So you can hedge?
Yes. And that, Audrey, that's the fourth area of commodity risk management, which is one of our modules that helps companies understand their choices and the data that drives those choices, whether to hedge or take a risk management position.
And so SCA Technologies has been doing this for 20 years, which is incredible. So obviously 20 years, they've developed very comprehensive technologies to make all this happen. And you were probably using these technologies when you were on the other side.
Yes. So I was at McDonald's Corporation.
Okay. I didn't know if I could say that or not. I was maybe a black helicopter would circle around and
wipe me out.
Okay, just making sure.
I was at McDonald's Corporation for 19 years.
Wow.
And my last position there was Senior Vice President of North America Supply Chain.
Whoa. So it all, man.
And
sleepless nights there wondering if there's going to be food on the table.
There's a few sleepless nights and a few gray hairs
for it.
But I owe a lot of my team success and McDonald's success to some of the uniqueness and wonderful tools SCA brought to McDonald's supply chain. So I was in effect a client of SCA Technologies for 15 years.
Really?
So I've been a user as well as a category manager managing products like fries or beef or chicken or what have you, and then in a more senior role. But I believe in what SCA Technologies does and what they offer and the results they bring companies. wholeheartedly, and that's why I joined the company, ultimately.
Well, that's exciting. So when people, when you think about logistics, people think about also real time,
mm-hmm.
right? Like how inventory management and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that are covered in this application?
I would say the main thing is right product at the right time at the right place.
Mm-hmm.
At the right temperature.
Yes. There you go. If, you know, if it's ice cream.
That's right.
We don't want it coming in a dry goods container. But
right.
Amazon is really resetting the rules of the game.
Right.
Walmart did in the 90s.
Now
right.
Amazon
is. With pushing
right.
you know, inventory rather than it being pulled through a supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon is resetting the rules and logistics and expectations from the consumer. And so restaurant companies need to be aware and are competing with that model, believe it or not.
That's right.
So if I walk into a Taco Bell or KFC, Pizza Hut or McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, something's being promoted. Let's say it's a special ice cream in the summer, and I make the trouble to go through that drive-through or come into that restaurant, it has to be there.
Exactly.
At the price
advertised. If you're out of Shamrock Shakes come St. Patrick's Day, it's Bupkis.
Exactly.
You've lost all credibility at
exactly.
that point. A vanilla shake won't do.
And the franchisees are not happy
exactly.
when they lose those sales opportunities.
Right.
So that's really interesting about the Amazon effect.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're feeling that
yes.
in your industry.
Yes. I think
because
all industries
been at the, but you've been at the onset of fast.
Yes. Fast and flexible.
Right.
And that's really what SEA allows
right.
and enables companies. So we tend to think of supply chains as an enabler, strategic enabler for companies to grow their sales and manage their costs. Not just, it's not about just about cost reduction, although we do a lot of great stuff in that area, but it's about growing top line sales.
Right.
And having the right products in the right place.
So the consumer has changed over the years.
Yes. Much more demanding, much more discriminating.
You want it exactly the way you want it.
Yes.
Do you remember back? I remember back as a kid, this is like in the 70s, if you went to McDonald's and you asked for a cheeseburger without onions and pickles, forget about it. You would wait forever, so you had to scrape
yes.
it off. You were even afraid to ask.
Yes.
And now it's just like, come on.
Yes.
And you know how many onions that store needs to have.
Right.
And at the right time.
Right.
That's so cool.
Exactly. Customization, you know, the customer is in charge.
Exactly.
More, and not that the customer is always right. Of course, you know, we've all had
right.
experiences with that.
Right.
Seen things that have happened in
right.
retail, but the customer is in charge. And if you don't realize that as a retailer, as a food manufacturer, a grocery store, let alone a restaurant company, you won't be in business very long.
Absolutely.
Well, even Uber Eats delivers McDonald's.
Yes. Recently, Uber Eats is already delivering for 5,000 McDonald's restaurants in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So 5,000 are
expanding
right.
that model. Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So
yes.
that's sort of fascinating too.
Yes. And guess what is the number one item that is ordered through Uber Eats at McDonald's?
Fries.
Yeah.
Bingo.
So let's talk about French fries. And I'm in a French fry kind of mood right
mm-hmm.
now. The logistics of making French fries, and I can only imagine the sheer tonnage of fries that are sold every day through McDonald's. To make sure that potatoes are grown. So you're dealing with the farmers
yes.
in Idaho and around the world that make
yes.
potatoes.
Yes.
Getting them the right types of potatoes to the store or to the factory that turns them into fries. How does this work? Run us like a quick scenario as to how a potato becomes a hot order of fries that's delivered by Uber Eats.
So supply chain, as the name implies,
yeah.
goes back from, we call it farm to fork. So from the farm, potatoes are grown to a certain, there are certain varieties of potatoes
mm-hmm.
that someone like McDonald's or another chain would spec out
mm-hmm.
that are grown for them and contracted to be grown for them. And so Mother Nature does her thing
mm-hmm.
with a given crop.
Right.
So there has to be enough raw material of which to convert into finished French fries. So only a portion of the potatoes that are grown for a company or a chain like McDonald's are actually used.
Okay.
Others are sold off into other channels.
To mashed potato grocery. Companies.
Sure, you bet. Hash
That's
browns.
Right. Hash browns.
Like that. But the spec is so rigorous and so tight. So what gets accepted both in the raw potato form as well as when they're made into frozen pieces of fries.
Mm-hmm.
I call them fry blanks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
wow, you're like a master of fries.
Really, there's the specs and the metal detection is so rigorous. So what makes, they call it a Mac fry, what makes it so delicious really starts, you know, at the farm.
Okay.
Through processing,
yeah, right.
Through distribution.
The ripe potato.
And then most importantly, through cooking and proper holding at the restaurants. So from farm to the consumer.
And you manage every part of that stage.
Every part of that supply chain. Wow. Yes. And every food item, even ingredients, whether it be in fries or buns or
the ketchup. The ketchup packets to have those.
Many, you know, you have packaging considerations, tomato paste, salt, sugar, oils, other things. Those are all
individual supply chains. He's giving away the recipe.
I know. he's making me hungry is what he's doing right now.
Yeah, I'm having a flashback. I remember liking those fries.
Oh, I love those fries. Are you kidding me, man?
Yeah.
And I like them even more knowing there's a Pittsburgh company that's making those fries so delicious.
Yes. So
just saying.
So yeah, the franchisees of McDonald's and the company-owned restaurants really take the fryology very seriously.
The fryology.
I love it. So, because that's an expectation. We go back to those expectations of consumers.
Yeah.
They're not expecting unsalted, soggy fries at McDonald's.
No.
So SCA, that's our role, is to help facilitate that customer experience.
New word.
Through the supply chain.
So we have a new word, fryology.
Ah.
Is that a new word, or is that a word you use in your business?
That's a new word.
I like it. Invented here on Tech Vibe Radio.
This is about innovation, right?
Exactly right.
Local innovation.
We're innovating new words, yeah. So people learn more about SCA Technologies. Where can they go and kind of just soak this in and think about fries?
Please, scatech.com.
Or fryology.com. Just kidding.
Yes, scatech.com here in Pittsburgh. And we are launching our new website.
Tell us about this.
In the second quarter.
All the more reason to go.
Yes, yes. Please visit our website as it stands today, but know that we're continuing to challenge ourselves and innovate upon how we communicate to the public and as to what we do and our value proposition.
So, Dan, last question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're from Chicago. You hang out in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
What are your thoughts of Pittsburgh?
What was that?
What are your thoughts of Pittsburgh as a tech town?
As someone who's been coming here for the last year regularly, I am very impressed.
Are you surprised?
I am. And I was even here for a wedding with friends over the summer, and they were surprised. These are Chicago people.
All right.
And a lot of people say that about Chicago, especially if they're from New York or L.A. Wow, this is a great place. It's beautiful, this and that. But I will say in Pittsburgh, the architecture and the neighborhoods, the river, went to a Pirates game this past summer. Great walking city, great food,
great,
wonderful community, you know, downtown. I love the energy.
We are glad that you're in town.
That's
and
great.
Welcome you to Pittsburgh. So thanks so much for stopping by. Another Tech Vibe Radio under our belt. Tune in next week for more Tech Vibe Radio, more great stories like SCA Technologies and Fryology here on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirstein.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Have an awesome weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.